Good morning. Awesome. Awesome. So my name is Denver Daniel. I am thrilled to be here today. I am the president of Open Door Christian Schools and just so thankful to Church of the Open Door for giving us a little bit of time to just showcase a story that we feel that we have to share in this region. Open Door Christian Schools has been in existence for over 40 years. God has done some great things through the ministry of the school. And we're looking forward to what God is going to continue to do, because as we learned last week, Jesus is not saying he was, Jesus is saying I am. And so today I want to jump right in and encourage you to go with me to John chapter 9, when we're going to look at just another piece of when Jesus says I am. As you are going there, last week, Pastor Jim, he really encouraged us. He pointed out something he said and shared that revelation is always an invitation to intimacy, to make Christ known. So when Jesus is declaring himself as I am, he's not just showing off. He's not just saying, look at me. He's really in a very tangible way saying, look at us. Look at how your life could be if you had a relationship with me. And so as we study God's word, we look at one of my favorite passages of scripture today. I want us all just to jump in and just really ask ourselves the question, what is God truly trying to reveal through this passage of scripture today? What is he trying to speak into my heart so that I would know him better? Now, before I go and preach, I always ask the Lord as I'm studying and in preparation for three things. And this is my heart to you for you today. It's number one, I want God to get glory for what when we open up his word and we share his story. It is about him. I want the believers that are here, I want you to be strengthened and encouraged. And we know that life can indeed be maddening. But thank God we have a Savior who wants to encourage us and strengthen us, and he speaks into our lives in the present tense, I am. And then I want to welcome anyone that has not yet known the beauty of a relationship with Jesus Christ. My prayer is always that the Holy Spirit will speak into your heart and show you that the greatest calling in your life is a relationship with him. So as we jump in that, I'm going to ask for all of us to stand. We're going to read John chapter 9. I'm going to read and read the next I am. For many, this is going to be a familiar passage of scripture, but this passage, I pray, will minister to each and every one of us today. So as he said, Jesus says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi or teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Now I'm going to read verse 5 again. It says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You may be seated. So if revelation is always an invitation to intimacy, the real question is when Jesus declares himself, makes known himself that I am the light of the world, and he makes it known in this scene where he sees this person that is born blind, the scene where people are asking him questions about the condition of this man, he wants and declares and says, I'm the light of the world. So years later, what's he speaking to us in that same passage that he would say, I am the light of the world that we can grab a hold of today? What is he trying to make known to us? Well, the very first thing that I believe that he wants to make known to us is something that, candidly, that I've struggled with. In my years of ministry, I've seen other people struggle with this. My guess is that some of you have even struggled or are struggling with this. And when we ask Jesus what, and he says, I am the light of the world, and we ask him what he's trying to make known to us, what he's really trying to make known to us is purpose. He's wanting us to be aware of why he's doing what he's doing. And here's the point of the struggle. Happens right at the front end of the story. Jesus is walking. He sees a guy that needs his help. He sees a guy that he's going to work the works of God, and God's going to be glorified in. Here's what the disciples asked, though. They said, hey, Jesus, who sinned? This guy or his parents? And what they really were asking is, what did they do? What was the conduct that they did that brought about this for their son? Now, in my years of ministry, I will tell you this question comes up in a lot of different ways, and it's always trying to figure out, why did this happen? What is the conduct? What is the cause that led to this effect? And we get really good at it, so to speak, in trying to say, well, and we create all of these rules, these conduct-based things. Well, if we do this, it'll go do this. If we don't do this, then these bad things happen. And not that any of those things are wrong, but Jesus, if you notice Jesus's answer, Jesus shows light to a much greater picture than just their conduct. He says, no, we're not going to focus on whether this man sinned or his parents sinned. No, we're going to focus on the fact that I'm going to do the works of God so that God's power can be revealed into him. See, what he was showing was his condition. What he was trying to minister to everybody in the audience that day was the condition of man. And years later, in 2017, the reason why we have a Christian school, the reason why the Lord has commissioned that, the reason why you are here today is because God is still speaking and showing forward the condition of man. You say, well, what do you mean about by that, Denver? What are you trying to say? Well, when we look at the condition, it goes much deeper than an action or a conduct. It starts examining the why. And so Jesus sheds light to the big picture of the Bible. He starts showing light about his creation. And he starts showing how that when it was created, everything was good and it was what he wanted it to be. It was perfect. He's trying to show us in that, and as he created the heavens and the earth, he's like, you know, we can do something even better than that. Let's create man and let's make him in our image. And so he shows the condition of perfection at the initial creation. But then God, through his word, also shows us something that we're all too familiar with, if we're honest. We see the fall. We see how mankind disobeyed God, the plan that was going to be for our well-being and our good and keep things as it was should be. Mankind disobeyed, and then because of that disobedience, the fall created, and it contaminated. It affected everything. Even to the degree that Romans 8 talks about how that creation mourns and yearns because they recognize that we're under the fall. And certainly we can even feel that too. We only need to look at the world around us and look at the suffering and look at the challenges that are prevalent in our own lives. And we know that just something is missing. Now, candidly, that's where the disciples were resting at that moment. They were focused on the fact that something's not right. So what's the cause of that not being right? The conduct. And Jesus, as light of the world, says, wait a minute. No, we're going to take it one more step. I'm going to show you the picture in totality. I'm going to be the light in totality. I'm going to show you the picture of redemption. We're not going to focus, he told his, shared with his disciples, on the conduct. We're not going to focus on what caused this man to be. We're going to focus on what this man can become. I'm going to do a work in him that no one since his birth has ever done. I'm going to show the condition of creation, the condition of the fall, and then the beauty of redemption coming alive in his life. Now, before I get to the story, we also see that his purpose reveals an invitation. So he's setting his disciples up. They're wanting to know this answer. And he's like, I'm going to invite you into the picture. And that's when he says, he doesn't say, as long as it's day, I'm going to do this. He says, as long as there's an opportunity, we must do the works. Now here's where it all starts coming together for us in 2017. How many of us this morning, as we're worshiping, can relate to the time where we recognize, just like the blind man, we were born blind in our sin and that there was seemingly no hope, no help. We're looking around and we're just feeling the prison of bondage, and we know that it's not what it could be for us. There's just this yearning for something more, but we're bound up, we're held hostage to it. Right, but then here comes Jesus onto the scene of our lives. And he says, hey, I'm not going to focus on the cause and effect. I'm just going to focus on this. I am the light of the world. And he showed shone light into your heart. He shone light into my heart. And then from that moment on, nothing has ever been the same. See, Jesus shared, I am the light of the world, to you and I, so that we could also be part of the invitation of inviting others to that same beautiful thing. Now, it didn't make a lot of sense initially, probably to many of us, right? Probably didn't make a lot of sense to that blind guy when he's like, I've got the cure for you. I'm going to spit on some dirt. I'm going to put it on your eyes, and I want you to go wash. But here's what we know happened. That blind man knew that he was tired of being blind. He knew that there wasn't any other kind of hope that was coming. And he's like, if Jesus says that this can do something, I'm going to do it. And how many of us can relate to that moment in our lives where we certainly may not have fully understood, but we knew that there was something missing in our lives? We knew that the fall had just kind of bound us up. And thank God Jesus was introducing himself to us. And our lives were forever changed because in faith we believed in him and declared him to be the Son of God in our lives. And our sins were removed. Anybody remember that time? See, that's the beauty of just knowing that Jesus' purpose is towards revealing our condition and that we can be redeemed from that condition. And then secondly to that is we have this opportunity to invite others to do the same. And you say, well, how does that work? Well, Matthew 5 kind of tells us this really cool story, and where Jesus is giving the sermon and he says, hey, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And so the salt of the earth, anytime salt touches something, it affects it. It changes it. And so us being salt, us being the ones that have been redeemed, we look for opportunities because we see the world and how that it is, and the fall, and how that people are struggling and people need to see the love of Jesus. So we look for opportunities to be redeeming agents, changing. We look for opportunities like Generation House. Is that super cool or what? We look for opportunities that we can enact with our community and engage in them and say, hey, there's something better for you. And it's Jesus, the light of the world. We seek to impact and influence by being salt. But we also realize that we can't redeem anything in and of ourselves. But how many of us know someone who can? It's the light of the world. And so we, as Matthew 5 declares, we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. And so to the end that they don't say and say, oh, that's a nice guy that just did this for me. Or that's a nice act that somebody just did. No, as lights of the world, what we do is that we try and showcase the glory of God and say, you know, it's not us, but it is the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts that is causing us to do this for you. So as the light of the world, Jesus is saying, here's my purpose. And then the next thing that we see is his power. Now, how many of us, even if we wanted to, would be able to go and get the dirt, spit on it, put it on somebody's eyes, and they would be seeing in and of ourselves? The answer is we don't have that power. We know that. But see, what his power revealed was a connection to the Father, a connection to all, something altogether different. See, the power is only as good as its source. And thank God that when Jesus was saying that I am the light of the world, he was showcasing a connection to the Father. You see it all the way through John chapter 9. Jesus says, hey, we're going to do this for the works of God to be made manifest. A little bit later on, the Pharisees, the religious rulers said, hey, who did this to the guy that was born blind? And he said, well, it was Jesus. And they said, well, who do you think Jesus is? He's like, this guy's a prophet, a connection to the Father. A little bit later in interrogation number 2 with the religious rulers of the day, they said, hey, you know, this guy, give God the glory. Jesus is obviously a sinner, you know, so just give God the glory. And then the guy that was born blind, he said, wait a minute. He's like, you know, I'm not going to get into your world as far as you calling him a sinner. And said, all I know is I once was blind and now I see. And I also know that there's no way on earth anybody could have done this in and of themselves. It is a connection to the power source that is above them. And aren't you glad this morning that when Jesus comes down and he speaks truth into our lives and we are redeemed by his power, that it is not just a connection that runs out of steam, it is a connection to the infinite power of God's grace in our lives so that we can be lights because Jesus is the light and he feeds us with that power and it reigns in us. Its power reveals a connection. And its power also reveals consistency to purpose. Jesus wasn't showing off. He was shining. Jesus didn't want the t-shirts to come out that says, look what I did. Jesus wanted to be able to show everybody, this is who I am. Because the Father and I are one. And this is what I want to do in your life. Now, to illustrate that, the last time I was privileged to preach here, I shared a little story. And I have received all kinds of things about people believing, and I won't go into this story, but people kind of poking at me that I thought a soapbox was actually galloping horses, all right? Today, I'm going to try and one-up that and share another little story that may give everyone a great deal of pause that this guy actually is the president of Open Door Christian Schools, but I'm going to try. All right, so here it goes. I am a Captain America fan. All right, I heard a little bit of woofs. All right, how many of you have seen the first Captain America movie? All right, now, the first Captain America movie taught me something. I was a Captain America fan when it was just comic books and I was growing up. I loved Captain America, loved the whole shield. I loved Captain America. All right? And so when the movies came out, I thought this is an awesome thing to be able just to take my family to. And so we went to see Captain America. So we are in the theater, the family, just a great family moment. I'm sitting there watching Captain America. And what Captain America, the movie, taught me was that I guess I had never paid attention to is how Captain America actually became Captain America. Because for the first 30 minutes, Captain America was this scrawny, skinny guy that was, you know, getting beat up and just kind of unable, for lack of a better way of saying it, to defend himself in any way. And so I'm looking at that movie and watching that, and then this thing starts coming upon me, this thought starts hitting me. That guy's looking a lot like me.
enough said, right?
Just looking a lot like me. And then, so I'm watching that, feeling a little uncomfortable. And then he goes in, and those of you that have seen the movie, he goes into this tube where they're going to inject him with all kinds of stuff. And, then he comes up out of the tube and just this great theater, the tube opens up, the smoke comes out. And then this guy that is this really buff, muscular, taller, obviously stronger guy just emerges. All right? And then, I kid you not, my wife's sitting right next to me. She's like, oh. Like, you've got to be kidding me. You know? So I'm like, because here's what I know. There's no way. I mean, I could work out every day and never be what that guy was coming out of that tomb. I know that. All right? And you say, now, getting back on point to the message, here's the deal. That guy that became Captain America had encountered this power source that superseded what he was able to be in and of himself. Anybody see where I'm going? When Jesus Christ came into my life, I may still be the same scrawny guy. I certainly am a guy that has less hair than I did even when I watched the movie. But here's the deal. Something happened in my life. Something happened in your life. And thank God it changed us. And now we are not walking of our own power. We are walking with a power that is greater than us, provided by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the source. And so when he says, I am the light of the world, he's saying, you don't have to be like that. You can be something far greater than what you thought you could be, because I can take away your sins. I can make you something that you thought you were incapable of being. So you see a power that reveals consistency to his purpose, and you see it in other passages of scripture as well. Jesus is not just trying to show off that he can heal blind people or he can make the lame to walk. Jesus is not just trying to show off his power. That was already displayed when he created the heavens and the earth. What Jesus is trying to show is, once again, his power is revealing purpose. And you see that in another passage of scripture in Matthew 9, where he comes across this guy lame. And he looks at the guy and he says, your sins be forgiven. And see, we know from other passages that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his purpose statement. And he looks down at this guy and he says, your sins can be forgiven. And then all of the religious rulers of that day are looking at him and basically have a look on their face like, who are you that you would be able to say that? And then Jesus, feeling the intentions of their heart, he looked at it and he said, so that you may know, so that I can leave no doubt about my power being able to save and forgive sins, I'm going to do this miracle in front of you. And he told the guy, rise and take up your bed and walk. His purpose and his power were consistent. And likewise, when he does the work for the blind man, he's showing his power, and it's consistent. It wasn't just the blinded eye that he wanted to make see. It was the spiritually blind that he wanted to give light to. And that is just as relevant in 2017 as it was as he was walking down that road. His power reveals consistency. In my favorite part of John chapter 9, have you ever had a day that like should have been the greatest day ever? I mean, and other people just didn't get it. You know, almost like this is probably a poor analogy, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Almost like you have the golden ticket to the Willy Wonka chocolate factory, and no one is excited about it. Everybody is wanting to explain it away and rationalize it. Now, times that by infinity, and you've got the picture of the blind man. Blind from his birth, Jesus heals him. And then the neighbors start looking at him and saying, you know, well, is that the guy or is that not the guy? I think it's the guy. And other people are like, no, that can't be the guy. That guy was blind. And he keeps on saying, I'm the guy. I'm the guy. And then they're like, well, we got to get some help for this. I think he's the guy. Let's take him to the religious rulers. And so they took him to the religious rulers, and started asking him questions. And he's like, I was born blind. Now I see. Jesus put mud on my eyes. And then scripture concludes as you walk through this chapter that they're like, well, we don't believe him either. Let's call his parents. Parents come in. Parents don't want to say a whole lot because they are scared of being kicked out of the synagogue if they mention Jesus and what Jesus had did. And so they said, well, here's what we're going to tell you. We know that our son was born blind. How he was healed, he's going to have to answer for himself. So here they come. They pursue and bring him back in. And they said, you know, give God the glory. Jesus is a sinner, you know, and he's like, whoa, nope, that's not meshing with what happened to me. And then they get so angry with him that they kick him out. So here is this triumphant day in this guy's life. And he has been kicked out and he's alone. But see, we see when Jesus says he's the light of the world, we see his pursuit. We read in John 9 where he says he saw him. We read in John 9 where he says he spoke to him. And then when Jesus hears about what's happening to the blind man that he had been kicked out, a guy that he had given him his sight. When he hears that, the scripture says that when he heard that, he went and found him, which meant he searched for him. So here's what I know about his pursuit. His pursuit is passionate. His pursuit is like, I am not going to let, this is a great thing that has been done in that man's life, and I am not going to let this man be alone on that great day. I'm going to come to him. And you see this in the story of Jesus in the Gospels. You see this over and over again. One of my most pointed passages of scripture is found when Jesus goes into the temple. The temple was a place that was supposed to be this place of connection. It was a place that was this visible manifestation of God's connection with his chosen people. But over time, it had been corrupted and polluted, and people were trying to make money off of the people that were visiting into the temple. And we had made it in what scripture as a place of merchandise. So Jesus walks in, and you may be familiar with the story. He walks into the scene and he sees this, and can't you just feel the grief and the anger coming over Jesus? Because Jesus, from the beginning, when he created the heavens and the earth and he formed man in his image, and he, from the beginning, he's wanted relationship. And from the beginning and since the fall, he has been trying to pursue us. And so here he's walking and he sees a place that is meant to be a connection point. And yet again, it's being corrupted and there's being barriers. And so can't you see Jesus in his pursuit, his passionate pursuit, flipping over tables and saying, no more is somebody going to stand in the way of a relationship with me, to the degree he even drove them out. But we can even go deeper yet, and we can see that it's not just flipping over tables. As we are preparing to celebrate Easter, we see Jesus saying, no more is somebody going to separate us from me. I'm willing to die on the cross for their sins. I'm willing to become their sin that they could become my righteousness. And so he died for us. And then scripture says that he declared himself to be the Son of God with power in that he raised from the dead. He is still passionately pursuing people today. His pursuit is passionate. And his pursuit brings presence. I love this. Jesus just didn't do an event in that man that he caused to see. He didn't look at that guy and he said, you're now healed. Check. And go on to another one. No. When Jesus declares that he is the light of the world, what he is really declaring is that I am going to be a continual light and I am going to be continual presence to all who would hear me, to all who would receive. So this guy, undoubtedly trying to figure out what has happened in his life and knows that he's been raised from blindness now to sight, knows that something great has happened in his life, but trying to figure out all of the responses that are going on and just not making any sense to him, Jesus comes to him and he says, hey, do you want to know the Son of Man? Do you want to know the Messiah? Do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to know the Christ? And this guy looks at the guy that had healed him and said, absolutely, show him to me. And Jesus said, the guy that is speaking to you right now, I am he. You know what I love about that today is that the life that we live can absolutely get maddening, and the problems can become so real and they can become bonds for us. But yet Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And Jesus is more than just helping you for a moment in time. Jesus is about bringing his presence to you always. And when I think about his pursuit, absolutely his pursuit calls for a response. You know, I'm blessed to be the president, as I've shared, at Open Door Christian Schools. And one of the perks of the job is every year I get to be one of the most popular people in a student's life. All right? It's not when I call snow days, although I'm really popular on that day too. All right? But it's when a bunch of seniors who have went through the educational journey are wanting their diploma, and I actually have it. Yes, what power, right? So I love that. I love giving that to them. I love sharing with the joy of them accomplishing what they've worked so hard for. And I love the fact that we've had a little bit in preparing them for what is next in their lives. But I can honestly say that with each diploma that they receive, my heart is always towards the end, Lord, let them respond well in the life that they will continue to live to the beauty of the invitation and the declaration that you make that you are light of the world. Let them make that a passion for their lives. And as I'm here this morning, that's what I want for you. I want it because Jesus wants it. He wants you to respond just as the blind man responded. He wants you to realize that there's no greater calling for your life than a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that when Jesus declares himself to be the light of the world, he's saying, I've got a purpose for you that's greater than anything that you lived. There's a power source for you that you've never had even an ability to even come close to having. And there is a pursuit that is going to be continual. Because when I reveal myself to you, I'm not just revealing myself to you for a moment. I'm revealing myself for an intimate relationship. So is Jesus, when he declares, I am the light of the world, beyond the shadow of a doubt, he is wanting to be your light for eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I am so thankful that you are the light of the world. I'm so thankful that you did declare that I am the light of the world, that we can recognize and acknowledge who we are in and of ourselves, victims of the fall. But thank God, I'm so that as you sharing light, you declare what can be for us. You declare that we can be redeemed. You declare that we can have your presence with us. You declare that you can guide us into all truth. And so, Lord, I passionately pray, Lord, that you would continue to pursue everyone in this auditorium today, that you would make yourself known to them towards the end, that they too would realize beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are the light of the world, and that they would respond passionately to your love. Amen.